found in the Gospel of Luke, the 10th chapter, commencing with the 25th verse. It is about the Good Samaritan. We find a certain lawyer stood up tempting Christ and saying unto him, Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Now this man was a lawyer. He was conversant with the law. He taught the people the law. And this man, he came not because he was concerned about his immortal soul or that he had something going on within him or that he desired to know how he could inherit eternal life, but he came tempting Christ. He came trying to feel Christ out to see whether he was an impostor or not, whether he was in error in his doctrine, so that he could return to the other lawyers and condemn the teaching of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, this man came then with a most important question, although he was not concerned so much about the question. Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? A question that concerns you and I, my hearers. Have you ever been concerned about what you must do to inherit eternal life? Have you ever asked the Lord in secret, Lord, what must I do? To find a rich young man, he came to the Lord Jesus Christ with the same question. He said, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? And we know how Christ spoke to this young man, rich man, and how that he went away very sorrowful because he had much riches. And this question, my hearers, should be the concern of each and every one of us. It's a most important question. Eternal life is a prize that each and every one of us should seek after. And there shouldn't be anything that's too hard or impossible for us that we should not attempt to obtain this prize. Oh, what a blessing if we are concerned about eternal life. There are only two places of abode, my hearers, after death, either in eternal torment or in that eternal place where Christ dwelleth with his Father in glory above. And it should be our concern how we shall be happy after we leave this world, for we cannot find any true happiness in this world. It's not to be found. And oh, if we should pass away in our sins, and what an awful eternity shall we experience according to the word of God. Good Master, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Well, the Lord Jesus saw right through this man. He knew what was going on in this man's mind. He knew why he came with this question. In the next chapter, we read how that the Lord speaks concerning these lawyers. They were conversant in the law, and they taught the people out of the law. But they laid grievous burdens upon the people, which they were unable to do, and which they themselves could not do. And the Lord Jesus spoke a woe out over these lawyers. And now when Jesus received this question from this man, he said unto him, what readest thou in the law? What sayest the law? What readest thou? And this man, he gave a very good answer. He was very conversant with the law, and he knew the law. And he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And the Lord Jesus answered him and said, thou hast answered well, that he had. This do, and thou shalt live. So this man then knew the law. And now this law that this man spake out contained two commandments, to love God above all and our neighbor as ourselves. And now there isn't any human being that is born in this world that can love God with all his heart and with all his soul, except he be regenerated by the Spirit of God. And then he has a small beginning of this keeping these two commandments. This law that this man was conversant with had never come home to him in its spirituality. For when this law is brought home by the Spirit of God, it discovers unto us the terrible sinfulness of sin. It discovers our sins of heart, of lip, and of life. Not only does it discover sin in this way, but it discovers the awful sinfulness of it. That it's not just a mere little trifle of sin against God, but it's an awful thing. And the law discovers likewise that we cannot keep it, and therefore it brings us under the curse, it brings us under the sentence of death. And when this law is brought home to a person, it's just like someone that owes money, and the person don't want to pay the money. So the creditor goes to him and takes him by the throat and says, "Pay me what thou owest." So the law takes hold of a sinner and says, "Pay me what thou owest." And now a sinner attempts to keep this law. He attempts to obey God, but he finds that he cannot keep this law. And he's brought to that point where if infinite mercy is not shown to him, he is going to be damned to all eternity. And now this law had never come home in its spirituality to this life. He knew nothing about this. And now the Lord Jesus, he spake unto him in this way, "This do, and thou shalt live." Keep the law, obey it, and you shall live. God created us in a state of righteousness. He placed us in a beautiful garden. He placed us in communion and fellowship with him, and we loved God above all then. But we sinned, we fell out of this place where God had created us in. And we can never love God anymore. We are enemies of God, we are haters of God and of our neighbors too. This is the nature that we come into this world with. And now this man had the same nature, this lawyer. And now when Jesus pointed out to him, "This do and thou live," he knew what the Lord Jesus was aiming at. He was aiming to bring that man down in his guilt and his sin before him, and to make him confess that he had never kept that law, and that he was guilty trying to teach other people to keep it too, and that he needed someone to forgive his sins. But this man, realizing what Christ was aiming at, he said unto him, "And who," willing to justify himself, he says, "and who is my neighbor?" He then would not fall in, would not confess his sin. He wanted to justify himself. And my hearers, this is the act that you and I do all the time too. We try to justify ourselves. Where will you find a person who is guilty, who will admit his guilt, who will fall under God and say, "Oh God, I'm guilty. I'm a creature that deserves thy wrath and thy anger." We make excuses. We try to justify ourselves by saying this and doing that. Just like the Pharisee, he went up to the temple and he justified himself too in the sight of God. And he thought God really owed him eternal life, that he had merited it by his good works. All my hearers, when God comes to a creature and convicts that creature of sin, then he don't need anybody else to condemn him, but that law condemns him. He's brought down underneath God. God would be just if he damned him. Have you ever been there, my hearers? This man didn't want to come there. That's where Christ was trying to bring him. But no, he justified himself. And this is what we all do by nature. We can never come to that spot unless God brings us there. "This do, and thou shalt live." And now he says unto Christ, "And who is my neighbor?" And now the Lord Jesus Christ begins to speak about something that took place. This is not a parable, my hearers, but this is an actual fact. This took place. The Lord Jesus commences to teach these people and this lawyer who his neighbor was. You know, the Jewish people, they were of an opinion that only the Jewish people were their neighbors. is they went to battle and they fought against an enemy, and they seen some of their enemies lying in their blood wounded, they'd never go over and help them. They never would help anybody that was a Gentile, no matter in what sort of distress and what sort of agony and in what sort of a temporal need a person may be. The Jewish people would never help anybody, only their own race. And now this was contrary to the teaching of Moses. Moses taught that if they saw their enemy's ass or his ox had fallen in the ditch under the load that was on him, they were to go to that donkey and go to that mule and help it out of the ditch. How much more than a human being? But in the time of Christ, the Jewish people, they disregarded these teachings, and they just paid attention to their own race. If you weren't a Jew, if you didn't believe the way they did, they wouldn't have anything to do with you. They wouldn't help you either. They wouldn't put out any money to give you the help too. They were that way when Christ was here on earth, and therefore he came forth with this experience, saying unto this lawyer, teaching him and teaching the Jewish people who their neighbor was, that everyone was their neighbor. And he says there was a certain man who went down from Jerusalem unto Jericho, who fell among thieves. And they stripped him of all what he had. They stole everything that he possessed, and they left him naked and wounded and half dead. Now this road that went down from Jerusalem to Jericho is called the Bloody Way. Along this road there were many caves and many cavities where robbers were wont to hide. And travelers that went along this road, they had to be guarded very closely. It was very dangerous to travel alone, for these robbers would suddenly come out of these hiding places and attack the travelers and steal everything they had. Now, whether these robbers that came out and attacked this man were Jews, or whether they were Arabians, or whether they were Roman soldiers, the Bible does not say, but it says that thieves came out and attacked this man. And they stripped him. They took all his clothes off him, and they hit him with some sort of instrument, and they wounded him so severely that they left him bleeding there and dying half dead. Now we find that the Lord Jesus says, by chance, there came a priest who went by. And when he seen this man lying in his blood, probably groaning and begging for help, he just looked at him and he turned away and he went away. He went along the other side of the road. And likewise, a Levite. He comes along and he does the same thing as the priest done. Now these priests, they were ordained by God to offer up sacrifices for the people, to pray for the people, and to do good for the people. This priest, he didn't perform the office of a priest to this man. He just looked at him and he passed on. The same way with the Levites, they were ordained to work in the temple, to bring in the sacrifices and to keep the temple clean. And they were then helpful and beneficial likewise to mankind, but he did the same as the priest did. And now by chance there came a Samaritan. And when he came to this place and he seen this man lying there in his blood, wounded, groaning with pain, he was inwardly moved. Inwardly he was stirred. And he was moved with compassion when he seen that poor man lying there. And he got down off his mule and he went over to him. And he began to work on him right away. He began to bind up his wounds to stop the blood from flowing. He poured in oil and wine. Oil and wine were medicines used much in the eastern countries. And after he had done this, he got him on his beast and he took him to an inn. And he brought him to this place, got him a room, got him a bed, had food ordered for him to bring up to him, and likewise maybe he prayed for him. And the next day when he was going to leave, he said unto the proprietor of the place, he said, here, here's 2 pence to cover the expense that you've had already. If you have any more expense with him, when I come back this way, just let me know and I'll pay the rest. Now the Lord Jesus says unto this lawyer, who now of these three was neighbor to the man that fell among the thieves? And this lawyer, he had to admit, he says, he who showed mercy unto him. And he says, go and do thou likewise. And now, my hearers, we find that this man that fell among the thieves, being wounded and bleeding, half dead, and he was in a miserable state, a miserable condition. And this priest that went by and just looked at him, and this Levite who did the same thing, you might be offended if I say to you, maybe we do the same thing. Maybe you have already seen in your travels, going along a road sometimes, maybe walking, you've seen maybe a man or a woman lying on the side of the road. Maybe they were hurt. You don't know how they got hurt. You don't know whether they were in a fight or whether they were hit with a car or what had taken place with them. But you knew them not, so it wasn't your concern. You weren't going to be involved in a lot of trouble. You weren't going to go to them and try to help them out. You did just like the priest and the Levite. You walked to the other side and you turned your head away and kept going. It's natural, isn't it? And now this takes place, my hearers, quite often. Not only do we do this to people that we do not know and who probably are enemies to us, who we see in need and in distress, but how many children who have parents, when these parents become old and feeble, and they have many adversities, many afflictions, many trials, many troubles come upon them in life, and then their own children act just like this priest and this Levite. Instead of going to their parents and helping them and stretching out their hand and giving them something so that they could continue on, we find that these children don't even pay any attention to their parents, never stopping to think what their parents experienced with them. Oh, what does not a parent go through in life with their children before they are of age, before they get married? Everyone that's a parent that's listening to me says, yes, that's true. The anxiety, the care, the distress that we have with our children, we love them. And then when they get older, so this is the case with many children. I'm not saying with everyone, no. But as you know, in general, it does take place. That they have no consideration for their parents. And my hearers, this man, this Samaritan, he was not a Jew. He was an enemy of the Jews because the Jews, they didn't care for the Samaritans. He did for a Jew more than what a Jew would do. For these Levites and this priest was a Jew, but he was a Samaritan. And he was moved with compassion, and he went over to him and he helped him. He relieved him out of his distress and did everything that he possibly could, just as if he was his own brother and his own friend. All the mercy and the compassion that this man showed to this man that had fallen among the thieves. And now this takes place in the world today yet. There are many people that are very generous. We live in a country, I would say, that is very benevolent. How many people contribute to various organizations for the benefit of mankind? The Red Cross, the Salvation Army, likewise the Heart Fund, the Cancer Fund, likewise the Polio Fund, likewise for those that are blind or that are deaf and dumb. There are various drives held throughout this country to support these organizations, and people contribute very generously. How many organizations that have drives to keep these places going? Some people, they even make a stipulation in their will when they die, and they leave them a lot of money for the benefit of mankind. They have a heart for humanity. Now, these things are very good in their place. But now, my hearers, it takes place in life, coming a little closer, that is somebody of our own church, somebody of our own family may come into distress, may need a helping hand. We close our pocketbook, we shut up our heart, and we send them to them organizations. They'll help you. Then again, everybody else somewhat like the Jews. The Jews, they wouldn't help anybody, only their own race. And we as a church and as a people, we're similar to them Jews in that respect. We'll help each other out, but we wouldn't help another out. Have we got a heart to help those out who we do not even know, who we see in distress, who we know need a helping hand, regardless of race, of nationality, of religion, of creed? Are we ready to help? I'm afraid not. I'm afraid we're similar to this priest and to this Levite, that we would rather pass by and forget about it. Now the Lord Jesus Christ teaches us here who our neighbor is. Regardless of nationality, race, creed, or religion, if we see someone in distress, then we ought to help. Now, that's what he taught the Jewish people in this, and that's what he teaches you and I. And now my hearers, this man that fell among the thieves, as some commentators, they take him as Adam. Adam, you know, he fell. He sinned against God. And when he sinned, he fell dead in trespasses and sins. This incident says this man was left half dead. The commentator explains it this way. The sentence of death came upon Adam the instant that he fell away from God. He died a spiritual death, but his natural death did not take place at first. That was to come following after he had lived a certain length of time. But my hearers, when we fell from God, we didn't fall half dead, but we fell completely dead, twice dead, in sins and in trespasses. And this is the state and condition of every human being that came into this world. And now we find that a priest and a Levite went by. So this teaches us that the law can do us no good. The law only can condemn us. The law can only discover unto us our sins. The law shows no mercy. And this priest and this Levite are a type of the law, passing by a sinner, lying in this state of sin in which he has fell away from God. And now we find that this good Samaritan came along. He's a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ comes to sinners who are lying in their sin and their blood, and he, in pity and in compassion, moved of himself, comes to them. And he pours in oil and wine. The oil is a type of the Spirit of God coming into a sinner's soul. And the wine is a type of the blood of Jesus Christ, which only can heal the wounds that sin has made. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he likewise takes care of each and every person. That he comes to in this life. They are under his care, and they must say, we are thankful unto him for what he has done unto us, for he did it out of free grace, out of free mercy. And now this man falling amongst the thieves, is likewise a type of a child of God. And many a child of God find that they are attacked by robbers. All my hearers, when sin, when the world, when temptation, when the flesh attack a child of God, it begins to strip him of everything that he has in a spiritual sense. Oh, it makes such a poor sinner naked and exposed to the wrath of the Almighty God. Is there a child of God listening to me that has never fell amongst the robbers? They've robbed you of everything that you have. You have nothing left. You have no power against these robbers. They just fell upon you, and you found sin too strong for you. You found temptation likewise, so that you fell headlong into it. And all of these things happened, my hearers. These robbers, Satan at the head of them, as they bring a soul into such doubts, into such fears, into such distress, it leaves such a person half dead, unable to move Godward. And now such a person is a fit object for the Lord Jesus Christ to come to it. Oh, and he does come, my hearers, just like this Samaritan king, and he bound up the wounds of this man that was bleeding. So the Lord Jesus Christ comes and binds up the wounds of such a poor sinner. Oh, he's filled with pity. He's moved with compassion towards sinners. Oh, what a wonderful Jesus this Jesus is, my hearers. There's no one that has compassion like he has. And he comes to sinners lying in their blood. He speaks unto them, and their blood lives, and they begin to live. Oh, they begin to move towards him again. He binds up those wounds by speaking unto their hearts. He comforts them in the midst of all their guilt and all their sin and all their transgressions. He speaks words whereby they are lifted up out of their misery and out of their distress, and they are given to hear his wonderful voice. And his voice is so sweet. In that voice there is a promise of a complete healing. Oh, such a poor creature is longing to be made whole, longing to be made clean, longing to be made whiter than snow. And we find that the Lord Jesus Christ in due time does come as the Good Samaritan. He pours in oil and wine. He puts his spirit within their heart, and he applies his precious blood to their immortal souls, and they are made clean, they are made whole. And he takes care of them from then on until he leads them into glory above. Oh, what a blessing, my hearers, if we may be such an object as this man was that fell among the thieves. It isn't a pleasant experience, no, but it's so necessary, my hearers, that Jesus may act the part of the Good Samaritan to us. And this, what took place, my hearers, with this man, it still takes place today, even in a natural sense. And this teaches us then who our neighbor is. And may we then do as the Lord Jesus said unto this man, go and do thou likewise. Oh, may we be filled with compassion and with pity towards each and every human being. Oh, it does not grow by us so much, my hearers. To help each other out, yes. To help those out that you know, yes. but to love your enemies, to do good to them that despitefully use you, that we find so very little of it. Or that we would listen to the exhortation of the Apostle Paul, who exhorted the Ephesians and said, be ye kind, tender-hearted one to another, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you in Christ Jesus. Oh, that we had such a spirit dwelling in us. It is only when God creates us anew by His and plants that spirit of His in our hearts, as then we again do as a Samaritan. As then from a principle of finding mercy, finding compassion, finding that God has in store for us eternal life, and that we are moved likewise to help when the time arrives and when opportunity presents. Oh, a child born again has that in him, that he would intend to help each and every one who needs help, even physically, financially, and spiritually. They are in this world to do good, and God has planted something in them, which at times is exercised by His good Spirit, and which moves them to do good to their neighbors. Oh, may we have this principle dwelling within us, that we likewise may be given to love God above all, and our neighbor as ourselves. Oh, to have this operating in our hearts will give us to lead a godly life, a life of prayer, a life to the glory of God and to the welfare of our fellow man. God bless the feeble lesson this afternoon to your immortal soul. That's all.